You know, we just don't get enough of the draft buzz, do we? It's a month away. The Eagles hold the fourth pick in the draft. They've got their own picks in rounds 1 through 5 and then 4 picks in the 7th round. So it's going to be some interesting times. Let's bring in our draft expert, Tony Pauline, who breaks down this draft a little bit for us. I know, Tony, things are going to change between now and April 25th. How significantly will those changes be?
I think they're going to be pretty significant, you know, because there's really so much confusion, so many unanswered questions at the top. Who are the top players? You look at what happened last week. You know, Jarvis Jones, a player who many thought would be a top 5 pick, he's got injury issues, goes out, just performs poorly, tests poorly, runs in the 4.8s. You still don't know 100% what's happening with the star Luda Lely situation. So I think a lot is yet to be determined between what happens, you know, today when we speak and when the draft kicks off in a little more than 3 weeks.
Tony, look, I mean, we've talked before about this and we're going to talk again about it, but I can tell you I have no idea what the Eagles are going to do. I'm not sure that at this point anybody really knows what anybody's going to do. But do you think 4 is an advantageous position, or would you think that in a perfect world the Eagles could drop back a few spots, pick up an extra pick, 3rd round or whatever, and still get really good quality players?
Yeah, I would agree with the latter. You know, at the 4th pick of the draft, unless one of the offensive tackles is there, unless they're really sold on Deion Jordan, you know, Chip Kelly's former defensive star from Oregon, I think, and the Eagles have done this before, you know, work the draft, move back, get some extra selections. They have more than one hole on this team, and there's a lot of role players here. There are no great players in this draft. There's a lot of good potential starters. So if you can come out of the draft with, you know, 2 potential starters and then some backup depth, I think that would be perfect for the Eagles.
You mentioned, Tony, offensive linemen, and we know about Jokel, and we know about Fisher and Lane Johnson. This is, it sounds like to me, an extraordinary year for offensive tackles in the draft.
It is at the top. What happens is the talent really thins out very quickly. You know, after those top 3 guys, you've got DJ Fluker of Alabama, who's a right side player, who's going to go in the 1st round. And then it's anybody's guess. You've got Ode Obuchi of Virginia, solid pass protector, who's just worked out terribly in the postseason. He's gone from a potential late 1st round pick into the late 2nd round, maybe to the 3rd round. You got Menelik Watson of Florida State, former basketball player who looked terrific, but he only has 1 year of starting experience on the big-time college level, so he's sort of a gamble. You got guys like Brennan Williams of North Carolina, guy who could play either left or right tackle, very talented player, but he's got a shoulder issue, which really hurt him last year. So it's a terrific, talent and quality at the top. But if you want an offensive tackle, you better make sure or a starting offensive tackle, you better make sure you grab one early, because later on, you know, there are a lot of questions, and you just don't know which way it's going to go.
Tony, let's talk about D. Milner. It seems to me that as the top-rated cornerback in this draft, everybody's saying Detroit Lions, Detroit Lions, Detroit Lions at number 5. Maybe that would be the opportunity then for the Eagles if they chose to and didn't want to take D. Milner, that a team would want to jump up in front of the Lions, take Milner, and give the Eagles an opportunity to move back?
Absolutely. And, I mean, let's look at some of the teams who may want to move up to get D. Milner. You know, you got the Cleveland Browns, who need another corner. You got the Miami Dolphins, who lost Sean Smith in free agency. They really need a corner. Granted, you're going to be dropping back, you know, some 8 spots to the 12th position, but the fact is Miami has got a lot of ammunition to use to move up if they want to get D. Milner. They've got 2 picks in the 2nd round. They've got 2 picks in the 3rd round. So I think the opportunity, you make an excellent point, that is the player, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, although the Buccaneers are at 13, you know, they are in talks of potentially trading for Darrelle Revis. If that doesn't work out, maybe they want to move up to get D. Milner. Just a matter of, I think the opportunity will be there for the Eagles. It's a matter of how far they'd be willing to trade down and what the team who they're trading with is willing to give up.
Tony, talk to me about quarterbacks. Who can run the read option? Who could be a good fit for what we think Chip Kelly's offense will be?
I think Geno Smith could do a good job at that. The question is do you want to take him with the fourth pick of round one? If the decision was up to me, I would not do that. I think he can do it. I think second round, you look at E.J. Manuel of Florida State, probably the most physically gifted passer in this year's draft. I said that all along, but a guy who really has an unpolished game, needs a lot of work on his mechanics, needs to throw consistently with good mechanics, needs work on his defensive reads. You know, if you take him early in round two, you got to realize he's a project. I mean, he's a guy, he's not Donovan McNabb. When Donovan McNabb entered the league, he has those Donovan McNabb types of skills, but he's a long way from being NFL ready. You're looking at the third round, probably Tyler Wilson of Arkansas. Again, a guy who's got better than advertised arm strength, relatively accurate, comes off a slightly disappointing senior season, but a guy who can make plays with his arms, make plays with his legs, make plays inside or outside the pocket. So I think you're looking at those three guys. If you're looking for a guy later on, maybe the fourth round, a quarterback who's really moving up draft boards, Matt Scott of Arizona. Hasn't had a lot of playing experience, was a first-year starter, former baseball prospect, big-time arm, great athlete. When I watch Matt Scott on film, I see a little bit of Colin Kaepernick in his game. But again, a guy who's very rough around the edges, needs a lot of work on his entire game before he's NFL ready. So if you draft him, you know, he's a guy, there's going to be a lot of bumps in the roads, and there are no guarantees.
All right, Tony, final question for you. Who's the best player in this 2013 NFL draft?
I'm going to say it's Luke Joeckel, basically by default. I think the fact is you look at DeMontre Moore, how he's fallen off. You look at Jarvis Jones, how he's fallen off. Joeckel seems he's the best because I think he's the safest. He plays the priority position at left tackle, doesn't have a great amount of downside risk, has some upside. He's not Joe Thomas. You know, when Thomas entered the draft, he's probably not even Jake Long when Jake Long entered the draft. But you're talking about a very unusual draft where there is no premier talent at the top. Joeckel comes closest to that, but he really doesn't fit that sort of characteristic of being a franchise player for the next level.
At the same time, though, there are players who are going to be good players in this league, just not the superstar kind of player that you're talking about right off the bat here.
Absolutely. Guys who can contribute, guys who I think will have solid NFL careers. But again, you know, no Joe Thomas, no Trent Richardson, obviously no Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin. A lot of very good players. You know, some guys who could develop into all pros, but not those franchise type of players that we've seen in the past.
Tony, thank you very much. We will check in with you leading up to and through this NFL draft. Thanks again, Tony Pauline, for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.